All right, thank you. Did you get a handout? Did everybody get a handout tonight? If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Everybody got one? Okay, great. One right here, all right? We've been looking at the Bible for a few months here. We're going to look at it again tonight about the Bible. Matthew chapter 13. You'll want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to talk about the key to receiving the word. Last week, we talked about the Bible and its profitability, okay? The Bible is profitable for the Christian as we live on this earth, and we looked at that last week in Timothy. Now, it's not just in believing the Bible. It's allowing the Bible to be the basis of our lives and the basis of our decisions, okay? Everybody will tell you they love the Bible, and they're going to carry their Bible, and they're so glad to have it, and it's God's word. But when push comes to shove, I'll tell you if it's God's word. Do you do what it says? Is it what you consult when you have an issue of life? There was a survey that just came out last, I think, in February. They do organization does annual surveys of the Bible. They said that Christians who regularly or very frequently read their Bible consult it on culture wars or things that are happening in our culture twice as much as those who don't get in it very often. And by the way, that's evident, okay? I don't know if you know, there's an organization this week, they took a lot of heat, called World Vision. They're allegedly a Christian organization. Now, I might debate that with you, but they have the guise of being a Christian organization. They do humanitarian aid across the world, and a huge organization, lots of employees. So they came out this week and said that they are changing their hiring policies. They will now hire married couples, even if they're homosexual married couples, okay? Now, I felt better about this because they said their board prayed about it for 6 months, okay? Now, I did read today that they took a lot of heat. A lot of Christians said, see you later, we're out of here. And so they changed their mind. I still wouldn't change my mind on them. How in the world can they do that? Because we say we believe the Bible, but we really don't do what the Bible says. We have no concept of letting the Bible be the determining factor in our lives. And if we're not in it, of course, that's going to be the case. Another finding in this poll is that 88% of people in America own a Bible, and 80% of people say the Bible is sacred. And yet 61% say, boy, they sure wish they read it more. They hardly ever read it. And so God's word's got to be profitable. The thing that God will use in our life through his spirit to bear fruit in our life is his word. That's what he uses. Now, let's look at Matthew. And as we look at these verses, we'll look at these verses where Christ gives the parable. We'll make some comments. And then later on, we'll look at the verses where Jesus interprets the parable for us. But this parable, I believe, gives us the key to whether or not we receive God's word and whether or not it has bearing fruit in our lives. Matthew chapter 13, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. In those days, when they would sow seeds, they had a big bag they would carry their seeds. They didn't have the type of machinery that we had, and they would scatter the seeds. They would sow the seeds. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. many weeks earlier, we looked at the book of James, where it talks about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And Jesus is telling us here, hey, I want you to listen up to this parable. He wants us to get the truths because we need to put it into practice in our life. It is interesting to me that you have two people who can read the same Bible, they could hear the same message, and one of them, it has a profound effect on them, and it will produce fruit in their life, and another person can hear the same message and read the same scripture, and it does nothing for them. What's the problem? What's the difference? What's the issue? God's word is supposed to bear fruit in our life. Jesus tells us that. We cannot debate that. But it doesn't happen in everybody's life, and it doesn't happen to the same extent. We're going to find out why. Well, I can say this. First of all, it's not the sower's fault. It's not God who gave us the Bible. It's not someone that gets up and preaches the truths of the Word of God. That's not the problem. Okay? It's not the sower. The problem is also not the seed. The seed is the Word of God. Okay? Now, if you have the wrong kind of Bible, that could be an issue. The message we're going to have on Sunday night, I was doing a little study on it, and one of the key verses in the passage I'm going to use, if I could quote it to you in the NIV, here's what it would be. It's not there. They took it out. Okay? So I guess that might help the fruit not to grow. So, but it's not the word's fault. The word of God is what it is. It's God's word. It's perfect. It's profitable, as we saw last week in Timothy. So what is the problem? Here's the problem. The problem is the soil in which the word of God is sown. Okay? He talks about four places the word of God has sown, and it's in these different soils. Now, what are the soils? The soils are our hearts. Okay? We all have different type of hearts. And depending on our heart, our heart will determine the fruitfulness of God's word in our life. That's why you could have four people here, as the four hearts we're going to look at in a minute, and it'll have a different effect on each single person. Same Bible, same story, same passage, same truth. This person, why? Their hearts are different. And the heart determines how we receive it. In Mark chapter 4, I think the verses are on your sheet, the sower, it's the same story, a different version in the different gospel. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word which was sown where? In their hearts. Okay? Luke 8:15. But that on the stony ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it and bring forth fruit with patience. So it's the heart. Now, let's look at two areas, and we're going to look at the four hearts in two different areas. Okay? The first one, I'll make sure you get the blanks, all right? I have a tendency to blow through those, all right? After Sunday school class, they come up like, hey, where's the... So listen, okay? How many of you want to be here all night? Okay, then listen. I'll talk fast, you write fast, and everybody will be happy. Okay, but I have it tonight. I'm going to make sure you get the blanks. How about that? Okay, here's the first blank. The different results. The different results. The major thrust of the parable is, why do so many of God's people never have fruit in their life? As we mentioned earlier, it's not the word of God. The seed's the word of God. So that is not the issue. The problem is never the Bible. The problem is always us. Okay? We just live in an excuse-filled society. There is no excuse. It's us. It's personal. We like to listen to the Bible, you know, we like to hear someone preach, and it's like, oh, that's good. I hope so-and-so heard that. Oh, so-and-so. Okay, let God deal with so-and-so. Why don't you deal with you and you, all right? Okay, it's for us. You know, it's funny. People come up to the time, you know, when you were preaching or talking tonight, you were talking just to me. All right, how many of you are here tonight? Okay, raise your hand. Come on. How many of you? Who am I supposed to talk to? It's hard to talk to somebody who's not there, right? Okay? It's not for the other person, it's for us. And so the results are on us. Now, what are the different results we can see in the four places? Look at letter A. We're going to make sure you get this whether you want it or not. Letter A. There's a line next to it. Devoured. Devoured. Say, how do you spell it? Type it on your computer and do spell check, okay? Devoured. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So this heart, and later on, the next point, which I'll give you that one too, the next point, I'll explain the different hearts and how it works. But in this one, here's the result. The seed is devoured. It never had a chance. It wasn't cultivated in the right spot. It's off to the wayside, and we'll explain that. And so because it's not in the right spot and it's in the wayside, some hard ground, the enemy very easily can pluck that seed away. And Satan is our enemy. We understand that. That's why 1 Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom we may devour. Now, he's trying to devour individual Christians, but it always starts with him devouring the word of God in our hearts. Okay, and so some people can come in and hear something, and it has no effect. It's like, as soon as we're done on Sunday morning, it's like, where are we eating lunch? Now, by the way, I'm in on that, okay? After Sunday morning church, I want to know where we're eating lunch too. But it doesn't mean you have to lose everything you heard. It's like someone told me, I mentioned here, some pastor told another pastor, he goes, you know those doors back there? I call those the erasers. He's like, why? Because every time someone walks out of the service, once they pass through that door, it seems like everything they heard is erased, okay? And so that's not necessarily true, but it's true in some people's life. It's like, it's gone. Satan can remove the word. He's won the battle. It amazes me how people can come to church, and some of you kids, you go to our Christian school, and some of you graduate from our Christian school, and yet we don't know anything about the Bible. We've got nothing on our time here. Sometimes, you know, hey, you know, I have a question. I'm thinking of doing this. And I'm like, I would never say this out loud, but I would think it. Are you serious? Have you ever listened to anything that was taught? Have you ever cracked open a Bible? That's not even something, you know, the world vision. To pray about that? Are you serious? I had someone in our office, they were coming to our church, like, you know, we're having struggles going here. And you know, because we just don't agree with about the whole homosexual thing. Because, you know, after all, that's not really in the Bible. And I said, you know what kind of is? He's like, really? I'm like, yes. Read Romans chapter 1. He goes, I didn't know that. Well, you didn't ask. Okay, we're not just making stuff up on the fly. Okay, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's in the Bible. But some people don't get it because they don't want to get it. And it's devoured. By the way, that's a dangerous place where we want to be. Also, letter B. You're going to get it tonight, aren't you? Depth. Depth. If you don't get it tonight, it's because you don't want to get it, all right? Depth. I know it was bad. My family was whining. My wife's like, you know, you never give all the blanks. I'm like, yeah, I do. Like, watch. Kids came in. You got all the blanks, didn't you? It's like, no. I'm like, go to bed. And then Jane came up, you know, hey, I didn't really get all those. I'm like, oh, man, it's an epidemic. I'm sorry. Read your Bibles. It'll be fine. Depth. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no depthness of earth. In other words, this one wasn't like the other one where it was devoured right away, but there was a little bit of dirt, but there wasn't much depth, so it really couldn't take hold. It's the right place, but there wasn't enough of it to where it could take root. This heart has no spiritual depth. It is spiritually shallow, therefore it can't take root. And if something cannot take root, it's not going to last. It's going to very easily be killed. Okay? It's going to very easily be destroyed. This is kind of our casual Christianity. By the way, casual Christianity doesn't cut it. Everybody wants to be a hipster, you know, and Mr. Cool Cat and all that. And I'm not saying you need to be a square or anything, but seriously, you know, we want to bring the world's coolness into the church. And it just doesn't work. We think to reach somebody, we got to be casual and cool like they are. Well, then we're not reaching them. We're on the same level as them. They don't need us. Okay? Now, listen, I was Mr. Cool Cat, I was Mr. whatever when I walked into church as an 18-year-old, but can I just tell you something? When I was in there, I didn't want what I already had. I wanted something different, okay? I couldn't understand it when I'm meeting some of the kids my age who grew up in church, and they wanted to go do the things I used to do, and I'm like, you're serious. I just left that. You don't want to be involved with that nonsense. But anyhow, we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's no deep spiritual commitment allowing the word to take hold. A person like this soon withers away. And you'll see them. They come into church, and it's like, ah, I get leery. Someone visits our church. I loved it. This is the greatest place in the world. I'm going to become a member. First time they're here. You know what that means? You'll never see them again. It's the person that comes and they check it and they kind of just, I'm plodding, I'm getting in on it, okay? Now, I wish they would do that. Depth. Letter C. We doing okay? Death. Death. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. This word, it was received and it was doing well. It had a little bit of depth to it, but not enough to keep going. And so something, an external force, acted upon it and choked it out. Okay? By the way, the majority of Christians that are in church for a while and then they get away from God, this is usually where what happens. Okay? This is usually what happens. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I don't want to be, I see the clock, it's right in front of me, and we will be out the time we're always out. Letter D, delivered. Delivered. But some fell into good ground. It got delivered to the right spot, and it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 34-fold. So this is where we want to be. This is the good heart. It's ready. The dirt is cultivated. The seed goes, and man, it goes to town, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. Now, we want everybody to be a 100-fold Christian, but hey, if you're a 30-fold Christian and you keep going, that's okay too, as long as you're going the right direction. And you'll grow, and you'll just get, and you'll be more fruitful. Okay? The result, it brought forth, or it delivered the fruit. The key, again, was the ground. The ground is good, so the seed produces. The results are determined by the receptivity of the ground in which it is sown. So that is our heart. Okay? Now, so we see what will happen. There's four different results. Number two, the defining reasons. Why? What are these different hearts? What's the reason behind why? Some do this, some do that, some do that, some do that. I knew you were going to ask. Okay? I don't know if the verses are on there or just a scripture reference, but I think it's just a reference, right? So if you have Matthew open, go down to verse 18. Okay? Go down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So there's the explanation. Let's go through each one, shall we? Letter A. Now this is difficult. Hang with me. There's two blanks. So you're going to need another pen. Just kidding. All right, here we go. Letter A, lack of understanding, the hard heart. Okay? Lack of understanding, the hard heart. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The wayside would be as they were sowing their seed, the wayside would be maybe a path that's by where they were in their field, where they were throwing the seed. It would be the path they would walk on, so that part would be compacted. It would be very hard, and seed would be thrown on it. But yet, because it was hard, it would not produce fruit. The word never took hold. this might be some, by the way, someone's not saved. It's a person that's in a, you know, there's sometimes people come to church and they're not saved. Okay? The word of God is not going to catch hold in their heart if they're not saved. It's just not going to happen. The first thing they need to deal with, what they need the word of God is about, is their salvation. We had a guy that we came to our in the early days when we started our couples class many, many years ago. A guy came with his wife. They were coming, and she had been to our church before, was out of church, came back with him. And I witnessed to him, my wife, everybody witnessed to him. The guy wouldn't get saved. And so one time I was talking to him, he wouldn't get saved. I said, why do you keep coming? I didn't mean it like, don't come back. I'm just like, you know, you're not interested. You don't want to get saved. But why do you keep coming? He goes, well, because I think what you say in class is good for my family. It didn't last long. He's not saved. That's not going to help very much. Eventually, they were gone. Okay? So his heart was hard because he wasn't saved. Some people's heart are hard because they've allowed it to become hard. And when our heart is hard, the seed, the word of God, cannot bear fruit. It can't even catch. Satan easily confuses this person and takes away the seed that was sown. And so usually what happens, our heart's hard to the word, they open their heart to the wrong thing. We had a lady that came here for a few years. She had professed to be a Christian. She said she was. And after a few years, she got away from church and she wasn't coming. And we went and visited her and she came back for a little bit. She left, she came back. Finally, she's like, I don't want to be there anymore. And we got a letter from her. It says, I renounce your church. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm renouncing your church. I don't believe anything you guys ever said. Well, what was she doing those several years she was here? She didn't believe any of that thing. Her heart was hard. Okay? So if our heart gets hard, either through that or through sin or other things, the word of God is not going to take root. The heart must be prepared. Look at Hosea there. Hosea talking to God's children said, told them, they were going through much, they were having some problems. God was dealing with them. And he's giving them a little formula here. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. He says, man, sow some righteousness and then you'll reap some mercy. But then he gives them, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. He says, man, sow some righteousness so you can get some mercy. But it's not going to happen until you break up the fallow. That's the hard ground. You got to break that up. Okay? Remember years ago we were renting a place over on Flagstone. We were renting it, so I mean, I kept up with the lawn and stuff, but you know, it's not like I own the place. But there was a bald spot there on the ground. Nothing wrong with bald spots, by the way. But there was a bald spot on the ground, and you know, I'm like, I'm gonna, you know, I did what I could, and I put the seed on it, and really, all I did was feed the birds. I didn't prepare the dirt enough, and it was still too hard, and it wasn't growing. It was nothing gonna happen. I had to get out there and tear it up, but I wasn't that interested in it. We moved. That's what happens in our heart. Our heart is hard. By the way, if you're getting hard to the things of God, you ought to be scared. Okay, Proverbs says, if you harden your heart, you're off reproved, and you harden your heart, you're going to suddenly be destroyed. Some bad things might happen because you're ignoring God's word. You need to break that up. Ask God to soften your heart. But hard heart. We're ignorant. If we're ignorant of God's word, we're ignorant of these things we're choosing to be. Okay, we don't get much understanding from the Bible, so we must hasten. Letter B. Here we go. Are we doing okay on the blanks tonight? Good. Amen. Thanks for coming. Letter B, lack of commitment. The stony heart. Lack of commitment. But he that receiveth the word into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, or pretty quickly, with joy he receives it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. There's no depth of soil, so the word can't take serious root. It's limited to how far it can really become a part of that ground. There was rocks in the dirt, and you know, the dirt was good for like a few inches, but then the ground quickly would get hard. Had a bunch of rocks in it. So that it starts to take root, it pops up right away, it'll come out, but it's limited now. And so it gets destroyed. Now, this heart did have some good things. They heard the word. They were not like the hard heart. He received it because they wanted to hear it. But there was no depth. They were happy with the word. Hey, with all with joy. And they had it. They received it. They took possession of it. But there's no depth of the soil. It didn't last. Listen, we need to get away from this emotional type of Christianity. There is just way too much of that going on. How we can do one thing at one minute, and the next minute we're doing something just totally anti-God. Years ago, we were out summer saturation. I knocked. There was a door. It was open. And I could see in. There was a lady there. She didn't see me, and I didn't want to, you know, startle her. So I kind of reached in to knock on her door to get her attention. And, you know, it was one of those doors that makes a lot louder sound than you thought. And it was a lot louder when I knocked, and she freaked out. And she turned around, looked at me, and cussed at me. Bang, bang. It's like, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to scare you. What do you want? My name is Steve. I'm visiting from Pacific Baptist Church. Man, oh, the church. I'm a Christian. I'm like, I didn't get that when I first knocked on the door. You know, that didn't register there. Okay? We are just so emotional. There's no depth. We haven't really broke up the ground. We're just going, yeah. And usually when push comes to shove, what happens? We leave. They get excited. But then conflicts start coming. And because they've not allowed the word of God to take root, see you later. I was talking to Brother Ray. Brother Ray that preached for us a Sunday night. And I'm like, well, really, how do you get people into church there? Because they don't allow visitors in their church. Can't. It's illegal. You can get kicked out of the country. So they have to develop these relationships long-term with these people. The college kids saw the tract that they use. You know, you're going to be there. His tract's 380 pages. I say, wait a minute. Wait. We got 4 pages. You know, nice cross on the front. Because these people don't even believe in God. And so when they, and so after they develop these relationships and they get comfortable and then they get to share the gospel and these people get saved and then they grow, it's like now we'll bring you into the church. And I'm like, well, what happens if they were to come to church and get caught? Okay, well, he went to jail one time. They lose their jobs. It says they work for the government, they're going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose where they live because the government subsidizes their payment, and they'll tell them, get them out of here. Can I just tell you something? When I talked to him, he didn't have a lot of people getting up during the service. Oh, I didn't like what you said. I'm leaving. They count the cost to be a Christian. When they come into that church, can I just tell you something? There's some root there. There's some depth. They know the decision they're making. We come into church, and brother, the air conditioner's not on enough. And by the way, I like air conditioning. One of my favorite days today. The air conditioning units came in, right, Brother Albert? Not all of them? Man, let's get those things. That's the most important. We don't have enough air conditioning. I don't like the singing. I don't like what you said. Okay? These people count the cost to serve God. There's some depth there. Not some dumb little thing gets them off target. Okay? They're serious about God. It might be nice if we were serious about God. Many Christians, we're just not that committed. You know, oh, you know, you tell funny jokes sometimes, and I like the singing. My Sunday school teacher's nice, and we have coffee and donuts, and sure, I'll come. And then you hear something like, well, what? What's, someone gives them a hard time. So, oh, I don't hear it. I'm gone. No depth. Letter C. Oh, did we miss some verses there? Yeah, the root has, yeah, look at Colossians. We need some roots. The word must take root. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received the Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We received him by faith. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith. How are we established in the faith? We grow deep roots. Not this shallow stuff. Christianity is so shallow, it's ridiculous. I'll just be honest with you. Like, you know, I'm not one of these, you go to bash, but seriously, the problem in our country is those who name the name of Christ. If everybody that said they were Christian actually stood up and for what the Bible said, we wouldn't have a problem in our country. If those who say they're saved, now I would have a doubt you that they are all saved, but that's a problem. Look at Psalm chapter 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Man, we get mad at every little thing. You know, well, you know, my family's giving me some heat about being a Christian. Well, why don't you go to these countries where when you become a Christian, their family has a fake burial for you. You're no longer a part of their family. Read Brother Board's update. And some of these Muslim villages, what they go through. Okay? One of the wives of the chief of the tribe, the little chief guy there, the wife got saved. He divorced her. We're done. You're a Christian? We're done. Okay? Anyhow. All right, letter C. Letter C. Lack of vigilance, the lazy heart. Lack of vigilance, the lazy heart. He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Okay? He becometh unfruitful. Notice that? He was fruitful at one time. Now he's not. There was plenty of room for the roots to get down. The depth really wasn't quite an issue. The issue is something else was also starting to grow in that heart. And that which was growing in the heart overtook the good that was there, and it choked it, and now it's done. It's no longer fruitful. It's dried up. It's over. It's like, you know, if you're growing a garden or whatever, you have to weed it, right? Okay, why is it that the weeds don't need any help growing? You try to plant something, have that grow, you got to fight and fight and fight. Maybe it's just us, we don't have a green thumb. And then the weeds, they're in. They're you know, the grass, if I'm not careful, the grass starts to die in certain areas, but it'll grow over in the dirt where it's not supposed to grow. I don't get that. Okay? But it's a problem. Lazy heart. Weeds got to be removed. This type of Christian is so involved in the things and the thoughts of what's going on around him in our society, in our world, that they don't bear fruit. Now, what are two growth killers that he mentions? They're on your paper, and I'll tell you what they are. You see that? Okay. Lust for the world. Okay. He says the cares of this world, the care of this world. We have so many things going on around us that we're interested in or that we're worried about in this life that it starts to push out the spiritual things. And by the way, it could be things that aren't necessarily wrong, but we get so caught up in them and it takes such root in our heart, it can start to force out that which is really important, which is God's word, the care of this world. We need to be very, very careful. You know, listen, if I wasn't saved, I know that the things that we hear about this life, the things that are going on in this life, the stresses of this life would just bog you down. Just bog you down. We have to fight that. Look at Hebrews there. It's a faith problem, if you think about it. The care of this world. We're so concerned about this world, we just don't have enough faith to get through it. If we have faith in what God has said, we won't be as concerned about all the nonsense that's going on. We won't get so caught up in it. Like Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was considered one of the sons there. He could have had it made. But he said, no, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not about what's this life. It's about what's right. It's about my people. It's about God. So we delight in his word if we want to see fruit. And that gets choked out. Look at Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All those things in the world. But that's what we do. That's all a part of our life. But he says, don't do that. Delight in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and if his law doth he meditate day and night. And he tells us we're like the tree, and we'll be fruitful. Okay? Don't let the things of this world bog you down. Don't let it start grabbing a foothold in your heart. The two can't coexist. The next one, the lie of wealth. What is the lie of wealth? The deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness is a lie. Deceit. The lie of riches is that it can give you all that you need and all that you want from this life. And by the way, let's just be real honest. You know, we're in this room and I'm a Christian. I don't believe it. Seriously, most people do. Okay, I'll just be honest with you. Most of us think that if we had all the money we needed, we would never have a problem and life would be good. Money was never designed to do that. That only comes from God. You say, well, I have God and I have money too. I'll see you May 18th. Amen? Help us get the building built. Great. We're not against you. But we just believe the lie. Riches lies to us. I was reading a book about finances, Christian finance, and he referenced a story about a multi-billionaire, and I forget his name, but he fixed like the Gulfstream company, and this man was with him to help him write his autobiography, and he's just talking about how miserable the guy is, and this guy wasn't even saved. He's like, this guy's just miserable. He has everything he wants. He everything's about him. He hates his family, his brother, his family. Just wants the person. He's miserable. And most of us would look at his wealth and say, I'd love to have that. I could be happy if I have that. Not if you don't have God. God's the source of joy. Anything over and above God that he gives us, that's just whatever. But God is the source. That lie, riches is not what brings joy. And we see that. Riches compete with God. No man can serve two masters, and we've looked at that. Look. Satan is so good, he can bring us into bondage with something that we think brings us freedom, money. I want financial security, and I want the financial freedom. And so we live our lives for money, and we're in bondage to the very thing that we thought would make us free. Because it was never designed to do that. Letter D, lack of apathy. This is a good heart. Lack of apathy. This heart is not apathetic. It is ready to go. It's the good heart. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and he bears fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This ground is ready. Boy, I hope when you come to church on Sunday, whenever you come to church, you're like, I want to hear something. I want to see something from the Bible. I hope when you open your Bible in the morning. And I know most of us, the Bible, and you got your coffee right next to it, okay? I get that. Make sure the Bible is a more important thing, though. You know, I got my Bible reading schedule, and I'm like you. I have the church Bible reading schedule. I follow that, and I follow two other things. I kind of modified the schedule to make it because I read in three different spots. I'm going to go through it three times this year. One of them is the chronological. The other's halfway through the Bible, and I mark them off. I like to mark them off that I got it done, but I'm not just marking it off. I marked it off. Okay, that's why we're using books this year. Our family's using books, and we write down something we learned, something we're thankful to God about. Why? I just don't want to get it done. I want to say, man, Lord, what's in there? And when I get done reading it, I want to come up and say, man, that was good. Okay, that was good. That's our heart, kind of heart you want to have. You want to work on that. That I want something from you, God. I want to hear something. How do we do that? There's two steps here, and we're done. We're like 3 minutes later than normal, but Joseph's testimony was way too long. Just kidding. Charlie sings way slower than Brother Pineda. Okay? First of all, willing to hear. Willing to hear. We've got to want to hear it. You cannot force somebody to hear it. You can force somebody to have the words go in their ears, okay? You cannot force them to really want to hear it. Remember many years ago I wrote a book on, it was kind of bashing Christian psychology. But I remember one thing out of the book because he was talking about counseling. He goes, if you want to help somebody, the one thing that's going to determine whether what you say to try to help them, whether or not it helps them, is this. How much do they really want help? And are they willing to listen? That's it. Okay? We could beat you over the head with the Bible. We can stick it in your shirt, your purse, guys, whatever it is. Okay? If you're not willing to hear it, it's not going to help you. You don't have the good heart. And then we're ready. Next blank, the last one. Ready to apply. Okay? We listen and learn so we can practically apply it to our life today. There you see the verses in Luke, hearing the word, the man that built his house upon a rock, he said, I'm going to do what it says, okay? So I hope that you look at your heart tonight. Where is your heart, okay? Do you have a heart that says, when I come to God, when I open my Bible, I want something. I want something that lodges, something that'll bear fruit, okay? Let's pray.